Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Cindy Morgan, the Vice President of Learning and Organizational Development, and I run the Penn Medicine Academy, and I'm really glad you're here. So let's take a moment, settle in, welcome to Lunch with Leaders. Let's close out our other windows and really get in the spirit of what we're gonna talk about today. So in service of the conversation, I've got a couple of housekeeping tips. Now, Jen Rader from PMA usually gives us the housekeeping tips for Lunch with Leaders, but today she's our expert panelist. So I've asked Lunch with Leaders executive producer, Youngin Cho from the Penn Medicine Academy, to join us and give us our housekeeping tips for today to ensure that we have a productive, engaging conversation. Youngin has been the brains behind Lunch with Leaders, so it's my great pleasure to introduce you to her because she's been quietly working behind the scenes, as well as give her the spotlight and say thank you. So Youngin, take it away.
Thanks, Cindy. Welcome, everyone. We are thrilled you're able to join us today. We would love this session to be engaging, and we need your active participation. So firstly, please get your cell phones ready to participate in the interactive polls. Second, please ask your questions to the facilitators using the Q&A window on your right. And then third, as usual, please use the chat feature to add your comment, share your experiences, and to ask for clarifications. You know, we've had great feedback that a lot of people have been enjoying, you know, hearing from you. So please still engage in the chat. Our facilitators will be monitoring the questions and the chat throughout the live cast and do our best to incorporate into the conversation. And if we do run out of time, we will follow up after the session as well. And you can always reach out to us. So thank you, and back to you, Cindy.
Thanks, Youngin. So welcome. Welcome again. I look through the attendees and I see a lot of familiar names, so welcome back. I see some new names too, so welcome to Lunch with Leaders. So for those of you who are new, this is a safe space where we can come together in dialogue with our fellow leaders. Being a leader is not for the faint of heart, and sometimes we just need to rally to talk through what we're experiencing and connect with others and share our best practices. We have some experts, you're also experts, so we look forward to an engaging chat window where you can be sharing your expertise as well. And you can find recordings of our past Lunch with Leaders sessions on the Lead Strong website, and I'd encourage you to go back and watch if you're new and you'd like to see some more content. So I want to review today's objectives. How many of you on a regular basis suffer from a little syndrome known as death by meeting? Let me raise my hand. And I'm sure metaphorically you're all raising your hands in your offices or in your homes as well. And now death by meeting has sort of morphed into death by blue jeans or death by Zoom. So bad meetings that were once bad in-person meetings have now become bad online meetings, and it can be really difficult. But it doesn't have to be that bad for you or your participants. So today we're going to share some secrets so you can have less DOA meetings, and you can even have more energy during the day because they're not sucking your soul out from you. So, couple of objectives. One, we want to have you understand what it takes to successfully facilitate a virtual meeting or training. So props to my training folks who are joining us today. Some of these tips can really work for trainings or meetings or conferences. So we think that a lot of this is applicable to all. Number two, we want to share the challenges. What are your challenges? We'll tell you what some of our challenges are, because as you can imagine, we've had to transform how PMA is delivering learning pretty quickly from new employee orientation to sessions like this. So we'll talk a little bit about some of the challenges, and we want to hear yours. Three, we want to talk tips, best practices, because we've been at this for a little bit, so we've learned some things, and you have too, so we want to talk about those. Finally, there are a lot of resources that we've put together, so we want to make sure you're aware of those. What makes this good is definitely not my weird humor, but it's hearing from you in the chat window. So feel free to share your thoughts, your feedback, your experiences. I love watching that as much as I love talking to our experts. So also, if you have a Q&A question, put it in the Q&A. I'll try to get to everything. You know how I sort of try to integrate as we go. So let's start the way we've been starting. Let's participate in a quick anonymous poll, please. So what emotions are you feeling today? We've been asking this and we've been tracking your participation over time in terms of how you're feeling. So using your cell phone, I want you to text Penn Medicine 918-222-333. Then you're going to be activated into the survey. If you have a challenge, just write it on the chat and Youngin will help us. So what emotions are you feeling today? Once you're live in the chat, let us know what you're feeling and we'll go to the word cloud in a minute. In the meantime, while you're doing that, I am very excited to introduce our two panelists today. So Jen Rader and Dr. Bob Vonderheide. So let me just do a quick intro. So Jen Rader, she is the manager of learning solutions at the Penn Medicine Academy. Jen and I have been working together for, just about 6 years, and she's been here even longer than I have. She has been, like Youngin Cho, one of the executive producers of Lunch with Leaders. In addition, under Jen's leadership, we've really used very creative, innovative ways to get learning out to the community. So not only is she a Knowledge Link expert and she runs that system, she's an expert in instructional design. She's the one who helped bring us micro learnings, e-learnings. She is a rock star and she's been really our go-to person to help us pivot and transition into this new world that we're all living in. Our second guest is Dr. Bob Vonderheide. He's the director of the Abramson Cancer Center and the vice president for cancer programs for all of the health system. Bob is an internationally renowned expert in medical oncology and experimental therapeutics, particularly in immunology. And through a focus on novel treatments for pancreatic cancer, melanoma, and breast cancers, Bob has mapped new models for speeding translational research along bench to bedside. In addition, he leads cancer programs for the entire health system, and that's a pretty cool job here especially. Under Bob's leadership, since he took the helm at the Abramson Cancer Center, our center has had 10 FDA approvals for cancer-based studies led or co-led by members of the Abramson Cancer Center since 2017. Additionally, Bob, little known fact, he is the inventor of the Penn Medicine flash mob for celebrations. I think you'll really enjoy Bob's energy. He's been a great partner to me, and I look forward to sharing him with you on the health system side. Many of you may not know him. So I'm so glad that you're here, Jen. Bob, welcome. I want to say, hi, there they are. Hey, Jen.
We're here.
Hi. Hi, Bob. I hope to see you.
Yes, you do. Where am I?
Oh, there you are. Fantastic. Okay. So lucky to have you both here. Let's go to the poll everywhere and see how people are feeling today. All right. Tired, unsettled, stressed, exhausted, hopeful. Hopeful is coming up bigger than it has in the past. Better, effective, social. Oh, that's good. Content. Overwhelmed, stressed, tired, exhausted, still coming up. Okay. I just read many and proud, but I thought in my head it said many pounds. Maybe that's my projection here. I'm definitely feeling that, although I fit into this dress, which felt like a miracle. Angst. Okay. Good. Plenty. All right. You miss your department. I feel you on that. Annoyed. Sorry. Restless. Yeah, this COVID, it's getting a little old. Thank you for your resilience and everything that you continue to do during this difficult time. So thanks for letting us know how you're feeling. So maybe we pivot away, and I'd like to hear from you in the chat. Tell us your experience with virtual meetings, the good, the bad, the ugly. What have been some of your funnier experiences, your heartbreaking experiences, your infuriating experiences? We'd love to hear from you in the chat what your experience of virtual meetings has been. So let me go to the chat. All right, awesome. So we're going to give you a couple of secrets today, as I set up. So COVID has definitely been keeping us on our toes. I've been impressed with all of your resilience, as well as our organization's ability to pivot and be agile and accept the new normal. Big shout outs to our IT colleagues who helped to stand up this virtual infrastructure practically overnight that allows us to not only do Lunch with Leaders, but for many of us, stay socially distanced while continuing to meet with people. So one of the best practices for video, we've had to learn how to do this video conferencing pretty quickly overnight. And so it's become really critical for us to give good virtual presentations and conversations. So we have a striking example. So the NCI core grant for the Abramson Cancer Center, the renewal was this year. The team had been working nearly a year to prepare for it. And it went from an in-person visit of 30 peers from across the country, as well as NCI, to all virtual, like practically overnight. And they had to do it on WebEx. And this is like the fate of our cancer center is now in a virtual setting. So Bob, you and your team prepared diligently for this. And at the last minute, because of COVID, you had to pivot. What were some of the learnings that you had? And did you want to like die when this all happened? And how'd you get yourself through it?
Yeah, we wanted to die. Thanks for inviting me, by the way, Cindy. And this is a great mechanism for everyone to get together. So yeah, this became the first ever virtual site visit to renew the core grant. The core grant is this huge $50 million federal grant that supports our cancer center. And it's a big deal, it comes up every 5 years. And we practiced a year and a half and we found out that it was going to become entirely virtual. And as you said, we'd had very little experience. All we had experience was with BlueJeans, and they said, no, you gotta use WebEx, the version that the NCI uses. So at first we were shocked. And then we started practicing and rehearsing. And we came to embrace the challenge. And I would say the number one thing we learned is that this is the way it is. And it's going to be this way for a while. And we had to get good at this. We had to get professional and effective. And once we put our head down, we started to make good progress. You know, you quickly realize no sympathy points for barking dogs and goofy backgrounds and fuzzy slides. We learned a lot. It was fun, actually.
Oh, that's so great. And congratulations for the work that you and the team have done. It's nothing short of extraordinary, and we're all really grateful. So I'm sure you learned a lot. Give me a couple of your do's and don'ts. We're seeing some on the chat of around a lot of bad meetings protocol. Yeah. So what did you learn? Give me a couple.
Do's and don'ts. Well, first of all, we haven't gotten the final word from the NCI, so we have our fingers crossed that it all works out. Team did a great job. In terms of the virtual aspect, we learned that you had to understand this like a TV show, that this is a lens, and you need to elevate your laptop, you need to talk into the screen, and we used pre-recorded aspect. We recorded the longest presentations and then shifted to a live Q&A in a way that people didn't really even catch. The don'ts, we learned the dangers of the chat box. If you put non sequitur comments or comments about things you shouldn't be putting there. And we also learned about the value of a background. We had a funny example where one of our investigators had a ceiling fan positioned with the camera, so it was right over his head, and it looked like he was wearing a whirly cap. So we were happy we had dress rehearsal. We caught that. The whole point is to be as professional as you can be and to embrace this new technology.
Thanks. So we're going to go in depth with a lot of tips, and I'll look forward to hearing your comments, Bob, around some of the other things that you've learned here. So how do we get used to this new normal? I have a feeling, unfortunately, this probably isn't going away for some time, and we'll be making good use of BlueJeans and MS Teams and BlueJeans events for the days ahead. Thoughts on getting used to this as the new normal? Are you missing your in-person meetings at all? Do you feel as if you're able to be as effective virtually as you were in the office?
I think we're all getting better. I think it's still pretty uncomfortable. I think we need to do what we're doing today and call this out as a new skill that we need to get better at and get feedback and start educating each other on what works and what doesn't work. I actually think there are aspects of the virtual nature that are a huge advantage. Every meeting starts on time and ends on time now. Well, it's huge. And you don't have to travel across campus, so I'm less late to meetings than I've been. Those are, you know, you, it really is, it can transport you into different worlds, and you can bring individuals from other parts of campus and other parts of the country really rapidly to your teams.
Thanks.
So I think we go positive and not negative on this.
That's great. And we have a couple of comments that reiterated some of the things that you just said, where there's less commuting time. Also, Steve and Dr. Emily Conan said, you know, we're getting better participation. And we've definitely seen that. If I were doing a session on this in the classroom, do I think 300 people would have joined us at noon on a Thursday? Probably not. We're very grateful you're all here. And I think that this virtual setting allows us to make this happen. So a lot of really positives, I think, as you agree. And there are some best practices. So Jen, Bob talked about some of his do's and some of his don'ts. Can you walk us through some of your top tips? Bob, I want to invite you to continue to have a dialogue with us. So I'd really love for you to jump in with your experience as well.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Bob. You named so many of our best practices already. And so we'll be touching on them again. And I look forward to hearing from the audience to see, you know, what additions you have. You know, like Bob and Cindy both said, this is a new skill for us and we're learning it, and we're learning it really rapidly. So this is a great forum to share your challenges and we can help each other. And so some of the five top things that I thought would be beneficial is to talk about, you know, really determining the right type of meeting to have or the right type of training. Secondly, you know, what goes into planning an event like this so that you can maximize the virtual setting? Third, you know, the preparation that goes into a virtual session is probably way more than in person. So, you know, talking about ways to manage the preparation. And then finally, like it was mentioned before, this is like a TV show. So it's like lights, camera, action. We need to be on. We need to show up and be authentic and have energy so that we can keep our participants engaged. And then finally, how do we keep the momentum alive? So how do we take your feedback so we can help improve these sessions as we move forward? Does anybody have any they'd like to add to that?
Bob, do you have any tips that you think from a order of magnitude match this list?
I think we have to recognize that we are having a meeting, so meetings need to be prepared for, just like any other meeting. And that now includes prepping for the technical aspect too. We prepped for this meeting, the four of us.
We sure did.
We
yeah,
do.
Great, thanks.
We even had hair and makeup, just kidding, yeah. Said no one.
Full on glam this morning. So let's talk about the first one. So determining the right type of training or meeting. And I think this one's really important to talk about. You know, think about what's your objectives for the meetings. Is it really just to talk and have conversation? Maybe a phone call without video is just fine. We don't always have to be on video. Maybe it's beneficial to share slides. So, you know, using a platform like BlueJeans or Zoom or MS Teams to be able to share your screen so that you can show, you know, data and slides and things for people to comment on would be really useful. And then third, you know, think about video. Is it going to be a distraction or is it going to be beneficial? It can be tricky. If you have a really large audience and everybody's on video, it could, you know, put some weight on the Wi-Fi system, and so your system might slow down. It also could be distracting if you see a bunch of faces on screen and this one's eating and this one's feeding their cat. Or I heard someone say they were on call with a video and someone was sitting on their glider or rocker on the front porch, and so they just saw the person like this. So that could be really distracting. On the other hand, video could be really useful if it's a smaller group and maybe you want to get those nonverbal cues and be able to make more of a connection, especially when you're doing like small team meetings or even one-on-one, video could be really useful. But, you know, we have to think about Zoom fatigue, and like Cindy mentioned in the beginning, you know, That is real.
Talk to me about what that is.
Yeah, I mean, our brains are not used to being on this format so much. And so, one, we're not used to staring at ourselves all day long. I mean, I'm an introvert and I certainly do not want to look at my picture all day long. So it's really distracting for us. Also, just trying to fill in the gaps and not being able to see all the verbal cues. And so your mind is really thinking through putting all these pieces together. And so it's really fatiguing on our brain. So that's why it's really important to consider, do you need video? Maybe you don't. Maybe it's just a phone call.
Thanks, Jen. I also find that it's really hard that for me to look like I'm looking at you, I actually have to look at the camera, which is not looking at your eyes. And that also is tricky for me.
It is tricky. You're staring at a little dot instead of looking at people's faces. And so that can be distracting. You know, one more thing that I want to mention about, you know, doing these virtual sessions is if you're working at home, you know, just make sure that what everybody is seeing is business on top and part, you know, keep the party on the bottom. You don't want to get caught. I think we have a slide of a GME journalist who got caught, you know, with his party on the bottom look. Caitlin's bringing it up now. And so, you know, just be mindful of what people are seeing on the sessions.
They might Bob, be having are a little... you wearing pants?
There we go.
Oh yes, pressed pants. you know, the thing about looking into the camera, on our site visit, I was really bothered because look, if I'm looking like this versus this, it's really difficult. I mean, it's a negative. So I printed out a picture of the chair of the site visit. And I put a little picture of him right above the camera lens. So I was looking at him and my eye was attracted to that. And it kept me looking into the TV screen.
Crazy stuff. Great tip, Bob.
Great one. Jen, give me the second secret.
So the second one, like we mentioned before, is about planning your agenda. So, you know, this isn't the same as doing an in-person session. So Dr. Wu had sent in a question earlier today that says, what do you do in big meetings when there's so many people and some people have video feed and some don't? How do you keep everybody engaged and you know, not be tempted to multitask? And I think it's the amount of interaction that you have planned into your session, right? So, you know, think about doing virtual icebreakers. If you're having a meeting where there's people on that you aren't familiar with and you want to get to know each other, do a virtual icebreaker, or maybe send out like a Facebook type thing where it has their headshot and their a short bio about who they are, so people can start to build a relationship and build that rapport. Then you want to think about switching things up. Like every 4 to 10 minutes, think about having something else showing on the screen, whether it's a poll or a question, or like Bob mentioned, a pre-recorded video, sharing your screen, taking a quiz or a survey, or just some of the ideas to help, you know, so it's not just didactic lecture. That could be really boring in person, and it's also boring online.
That's really helpful. Let's go to the audience right now. Speaking of making it, having a little variety, what are the tips that you in the audience have in terms of planning for your virtual sessions, whether they're meetings or trainings? What are the steps that you're doing, tips that you have for planning those? I really like a lot of those, and I look forward to hearing what the audience says as well. So are there other things that we should be doing in terms of prepping to facilitate these types of meetings? Jen, I know you've been a really great coach to me. Can you share some of the things that you coached me on so you can coach the participants today?
I think we touched on it earlier, practice, practice, practice. You know, doing dry runs, making sure that all your tech is set up properly. And I think one thing that was really, really useful for us, and Youngin, I give her credit for this, is, you know, identifying the roles that it takes to successfully have a virtual session. It takes a village, right? There's people behind the scenes that you don't see that are, you know, sharing the slides or answering technical questions or scanning the Q&A. And so I think it's really important to have those roles identified and who's going to do what. And what's super helpful is to have a facilitator's guide. So, Caitlin, I think we have a screenshot of that where you can prep ahead and say, okay, here's the slide, here's the topic, here's the facilitator who's going to be speaking. We're going to use the Poll Everywhere app to take a poll. And then also having links for things, because sometimes, you know, you need a backup plan, or you've noticed Youngoon has gone into the chat, and as we're talking about things, she's also posting a chat just to support what we're saying virtually. So you can't over prepare. And then, you know, talking about your background. We touched on this earlier too, making sure you don't have the ceiling fan over your head with a little whirly hat, not being on the glider, making sure that it's well lit. I purchased a circle light because I have a window to my side, and so I was just getting side light. And so my video wasn't very clear. And so, you know, I went to Amazon and I purchased circle light that helps to properly light my face, hopefully. Hopefully you don't see, you know, all the wrinkles and blemishes, but it just makes the video it just makes the video much more clear. And, you know, talking about makeup, sometimes these lights make you look really shiny. So you want to consider, you know, a little powder. You might need to powder up a little to get rid of that glare on your face so that you have more of a matte finish.
That's for everyone, gentlemen.
That's for everyone.
Ladies, that's for everyone. Let's go to the chat. There are a lot of tips that are coming in, Jen, and I want to bring them to your attention for either your comment or Bob's comment. Someone wants to know, was the light from Amazon and what kind of light? It's a circle light. Where'd you get it?
Amazon.
All
right. I can include the link when we send out these slides after the fact.
And she's not even a paid sponsor for that.
I'm not.
Okay.
And I'm also a laptop riser. Bob was talking about it. Having your laptop at the right angle so we're not looking up your nose. So I got a laptop riser to lift my laptop up so my camera is more in line with my face.
That's great. So here are a couple of tips that we've heard here. Clear your desk so you can give the full focus to the virtual meeting. That's really about being a good participant, and we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Additionally, planning the agenda. Again, does this have to be a meeting? Can it be an email? Like, really going back to your first tip around, you know, what's the objective of this meeting and what do we need to get out having a good agenda? A lot of people have commented that they don't love the put your video on mute or put your microphone on mute and having a lot of that setup. I think some of that clunkiness will be easier once we get used to some of this. Have people log in 5 minutes ahead of the meeting start so you can jump right in. People found that sharing your screen can be a very useful way of bringing people's attention right to what you want them to focus on. Sometimes meetings can go a little faster virtually. So instead of assuming everything is an hour-long meeting, calibrating the time that you need, ask specific questions of specific participants so people remain engaged. That's a good one, Tammy. Call on people. One thing that was asked, and I'd love Bob and you, Jen, to weigh in. Sometimes it can be a little clunky because, again, I'm looking at my camera and not looking at you, and you may jump in and I'm jumping in and then we're talking over each other. This also can happen on conference calls. Are there tips that you have to have that not happen as much?
Well, it's a real challenge how to get a word in edgewise. There are these raise your hand functions on some of the applications. I haven't seen that work so well because no matter if you insist on that, someone will start talking and unmute themselves. And what I've noticed is it's sort of the virtual equivalent of what happens at a meeting, is that the big talker gets all the attention because they're talking and And so the moderator really has to pay attention to someone else who hasn't, who you need to get their view, who hasn't raised their hand. It's much harder to interrupt. It's like when you're on, when you call into a meeting that's meeting in person, it's impossible. It's hard to interrupt. And I think it becomes the obligation of the moderator to make sure all voices are heard. Just like you did right now, Cindy, you looked at the chat, right? We all looked at the chat, read everything. Can I make one other thing? It's a little bit different topic, but before we go past this point, I've tried to popularize a new technique for virtual meetings. We talk about Zoom fatigue. My biggest Zoom fatigue is that I got to go to the bathroom between meetings. So if one meeting ends at 11:59 and the other one starts at noon, that is really challenging. Why can't we stop meetings 10 minutes early?
True story. I'm like drinking this, and the next thing you know, I'm like running to the bathroom and I'm putting the phone on mute and I'm praying that no one is like noticing, you know, it's tricky.
So never mind the bathroom. We all just need to stand up and take some deep breaths and walk around and stop staring 2 feet away or a foot and a half away. So if moderators could end meetings 5 or 10 minutes early before the next meeting starts, because a lot of us go just back to back to back, I think that would help.
I really like that.
Yeah, so true. Those are great tips.
Do we call that the Vonderhyde method?
Sure. I like it.
It's the opposite of a flash mob.
So I wanted to just point out a couple of more things from the chat. Pre-reading is going to be, you know, essential in this new reality, so you can get a jump start and have the meeting be very quick. Eric, I owe you one. Engaging host to facilitate. Thank you. Jen, give me a couple of others. How do we make sure this isn't a snooze fest or death by meeting?
Yeah, I think just adding to something that you just brought up about sending materials ahead of time, you really prepare your participants, right? So send them the agenda ahead of time, send them the technology requirements so they can go on and test their technology and make sure that it works and that they're prepared. And we didn't quite talk about that, and we can go back to it in a minute, just about, you know, what are the participants' responsibilities? And also, I think talking about how do you manage people talking over each other, I just wanted to give an example, because Cindy, I think you do a fantastic job doing this on conference calls. If two people start talking at the same time and then they both stop and say, oh, sorry, go ahead, Cindy's really great at saying, okay, John, you go first, and then Mary, you next. And so calling it out and giving them an order. And I also think that sometimes it's okay to call on people to have them participate. You know, it might be easier just to say, okay, Jim, what's your perspective or what are your thoughts or comments, and then kind of go around the virtual room.
Thanks. Go ahead.
I was just going to talk about what Caitlin has on screen, just about lights, camera, action. You know, bringing your energy, it's your energy that's keeping this engaging and exciting, along with all the other tools and resources that you're using, like videos and chats and polls. Making introductions in the beginning is really important, taking attendance. I think establishing norms is also really important with your team. You know, talking about, please everybody mute unless you're speaking, how you're going to handle people taking turns communicating their thoughts or questions, but just putting it out there, you know, saying I really expect you to participate and engage in this material, so that they're prepared and they know what you're asking of them.
Great tips, Jen. I've got a couple of questions for you and Bob from the audience. So number one, someone asked if we can have the prep template sent out. Michelle, yes, definitely. When you have outside, go ahead, Bob.
Nope.
Oh, that wasn't you. Okay, sorry about that. I thought I heard you. Okay, when you have outside guests on the agenda, how do you control the timing of when they show up to the virtual meeting. Let's say a guest is coming at 8:30, and from 8 to 8:30, your meeting is a closed agenda. How do you do this elegantly? Stacy Dahl asks. Thoughts on that? It's a good one.
That's a really good question.
Go ahead, Bob.
I think you should have the guest first. And because you can never really know when it's time for the guest. So if you have the guest first, and you say, thanks very much, we're now going to move to a private session. That was awesome. And it's easier to control the timing. What do you think, Jen?
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion. I haven't encountered this yet, so it's making me think. Yeah, I think having them start the meeting so then you can move on with the rest of your agenda could be really useful. Or you can ask them, you know, to join at, you know, if it's 8:30 that they're supposed to be presenting, having them join at 8:25, and having someone keep an eye out to make sure that they've joined the meeting successfully.
But, you know,
I
was going to say in the clinic, this became a big problem because if you're seeing a patient at noon and the next patient's at 12:20, when we first started virtual telemedicine, that the next patient was ready. And so Penn Medicine IS developed our own way of a virtual waiting room. And you were able to text the patients to say, OK, now's the time. I wonder if something like that could be available to all of us. It really works.
Cool.
I think that's awesome. The other thing that I jump in and add is that if you're the facilitator and you know you have a hard stop because a guest is arriving at 8:30, you have to do everything to keep that conversation going right up until 8:27 and be wrapping it up so you're making way for that person on the agenda. It takes a lot of discipline and you got to be watching and mindful of your time, but that's one other thing that I'd suggest as well.
And I think that's an important point. You know, we talked about creating that agenda, but really, you know, laying it out and putting times to it and sticking to it is going to help you have a successful meeting.
Cheryl asks, when is it imperative to have everyone on camera? And when is it okay to have their emoji? You know, it's very funny, Cheryl, that you asked this because I've been on a lot of these meetings and I didn't even know going off video was an option. And now I'm like, oh, do I have to go on video? Do I not have to go on video? Like, I didn't even know that that was a choice. So a lot of people are using the option of video. Thoughts on what meetings require video participation and how do you handle that adeptly, knowing that people may have things going on where they can't be so video ready?
Mm-hmm. I think it really depends on what type of meeting you're having. I know with my team, we've established some norms to say, like, it's okay to say, I'm not camera ready today. Like, I'm just not feeling it. I need a break. And that's okay. What I really like to see is that people are adding their pictures to their accounts. So you're not just looking at a circle with their initials on it, but you're actually seeing their picture, which still makes it seem like there's a little bit more connection.
Thanks. Bob, your thoughts on that?
I wish I knew how to do that.
I think, Jen,
in my view, Jen hit something that I really liked, which is, it depends on the meeting. So if you're having a meeting of a small decision-making group, if you're making decisions at the meeting, I think we need to see everybody. If that's a small enough group, that group will understand it's a really important meeting. I bet they're all camera ready. If it's a large, like we have, 300 people and we're, it's just too many, right? You'll crash your bandwidth and have other issues. It's not always necessary. We also you can alternate, right? So we have laboratory meeting where when someone's presenting, we actually ask everybody videos off. So we sharpen the image. Somehow it seems to work. But when we're talking, we're like, okay, video's back on. Again, the moderator has to say that. Video's off, video's on. And people follow.
Thanks. One of the challenges that I personally have is some of the new technology, whether it's BlueJeans, MS Teams, I'm still trying to figure out, like, you know, I'm used to the Brady Bunch sort of tic-tac-toe screen, tic-tac-toe, not tic-tac-toe. That was a game show back in the 80s. But then you can't see half your other participants. And so it's sometimes hard to remember who's there. You can kind of see them on the bottom, but the use of technology, trying to like figure out like how to see people, thoughts on how you, as the facilitator, keep things engaged when you may have more than one page of participants?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always leave the participant page open.
Okay.
Yeah, on the right side.
Oh, the name is good.
And scroll up and down. It's really difficult when someone's phoning in and you don't know who it is. Sometimes we'll ask, who is 617, blah, 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 if it's a small enough group.
That's a really good point, Bob. I've seen a lot of meetings lately where people have called in and it's really difficult to engage with them because you don't know who they are. Oh, I would say most of these tools, you can enter through a web browser or an app, and that's probably the preferred way instead of calling in with just a phone number. But I agree, having that participant list open, scrolling through and making sure that you're engaging everyone on the list is a good idea.
So when you're facilitating, the two of you, and Bob, you've done this a lot, Jen, you have as well. Do you have any tips for multitasking? I mean, sometimes I feel like a little, you know, scattered because I'm looking at the Q&A. I'm trying to read the chat. I'm trying to make eye contact with you. I'm trying to think of my next question. I'm trying to think about the timing of things. Do you have tips on that, of how you multitask and try to make it look seamless?
Bob, I know you had some really good tips.
Well, it is hard. Again, a new skill. We talked about, you know, this being a new skill, because right now I'm looking at the lens. I'm looking at Cindy to get, you know, like, what am I supposed to say? I'm looking at the chat. And that's pretty hard. You know, if you, you know, think about what the meeting is, right? Is it informational? Is it consultative? Is it decision making? And it will tell you what your priorities are and where to look. If you're trying to build consensus, then obviously you need to have eyes out. One thing that I've started to realize over the last few months doing this is that one of the key things that's different now in meetings is that we all have our laptops right here. We are at the meeting by way of the laptop. That means our emails are with us and our internets are open. And in regular meetings in person, sometimes we hide that. You put your phone below and you're texting someone. But in some ways, why don't we, particularly in a smaller group of a governing group or a working group, just recognize we brought the internet with us. That really facilitates flipping the classroom, because you can send out the pre-reads and the pre-reads are right there. You don't have to follow someone's slides. You can follow at the pace you want, and you can get work done. So you say, listen, we need to let this person know or ask this person to do something. Mary, can you send the email right now to that person? Or what was that data? Someone had a great presentation. John, can you look that up off the server right now? Share your screen. We want to see that data right now. And I'm finding that instead of a bunch of action items, go email her and go look that up, and I'll send you an email. Just do it right now. Just embrace the fact that you brought the internet with you to the meeting.
Thanks. I like that. Jen, other thoughts from you?
I think just to add on to what Bob said, you know, assigning tasks like, Cindy, I'm going to ask you to take meeting minutes, you know, notes on this to send out later after the session's over. I think that could be, you know, just assigning different tasks to different individuals keeps them engaged.
This has been a really unique time where we've seen sort of the disintegration between self at work, self at home, and there's a merging. And now we've seen this on TV sometimes too. We see kids, we see kittens, we see dogs, we hear dogs, we see all sorts of things in the background of people's homes, and we have a lot of data on each other. How, as a participant, do you control some of that environment? And how do you, as a meeting leader or facilitator, how do you handle people that have a lot going on in their background? Do you say something? Do you ignore it? Do you embrace it? Thoughts on that?
I'd be interested in looking at the chat and seeing what lots of people say about that.
That's great. Great suggestion. If you wouldn't mind writing in on the chat, we'd love to hear how you're doing with that, either as a participant or as a meeting leader and facilitator. How do you deal with people's wives being on their screen in your meeting?
You know, while we're waiting, one thing, you know, is if something weird happens at your house, like for whatever reason, they started doing a big construction project this morning outside of where I am, and I can hear it right now, and it's driving me crazy, and maybe you can too. So one thing is like, that's not really anybody's business. Oh, you know, I just had FedEx come, they're bringing me, you got to stay at work somehow. And I don't think you owe it to people to say, oh, you know, my kid's sick or whatever. And it just go on mute, deal with it and come back. So sorry about that. I think people understand.
Thanks.
I would agree. I think we have to embrace it. And I think, you know, seeing everybody's personal environments just helps build relationships. You know, I might be like, oh, wow, Cindy, I love that plant behind you. Like, what kind is it? It just opens conversation and for you to build a rapport with the people that you're meeting with. Of course, we want to try to limit the distractions as much as possible, but, you know, sometimes you can't.
I like seeing your pets. Jen has a new kitten named Lovey. She's very cute.
I love you.
There are a lot of comments about learning more about MS Teams. Some people love it. Some people find it difficult. Jen, you've become quickly very knowledgeable in MS Teams. Are there, as well as BlueJeans, are there tips that you would give about using some of those technologies?
Yeah, so IAS does have a really great page all about MS Teams and how to use it with different tip sheets and job aids. So I would encourage you to go onto their site and learn more about MS Teams. And right now the focus on MS Teams is really using it for these video conferencing calls as well as collaborating with your team. I think I saw Melanie maybe posted, Melanie Ramford, about that there's lots of MS Teams videos available on LinkedIn Learning, which you can access through KnowledgeLink. And then finally, PMA, there's a group of us that have been collaborating with IS and also some members from IS from nursing education to look at how can we use MS Teams from an education standpoint and kind of determine best practices and guides on how to do that successfully. So as we're kind of working through those kinks and finalize some of those materials, we'll be happy to share that with you. And, you know, we're looking at things like breakout rooms. So if you have a large group and you want to have more smaller, more meaningful conversations, breaking people up into different breakout rooms and then having come back to the large group to debrief. Sharing videos, using polling, surveys, and those types of things. So as we learn more about how to use it for education, we'll share. But for meetings, collaboration, there's lots of resources out there on the internet site and LinkedIn Learning.
That's really helpful. Sometimes when you have a broad group, like orientation, or you're doing a meeting like this, are there times where you should let people come off of mute, come off of video to have them participate in these types of settings and make for good meetings? Bob, did you do that in the NCI site visit or was it very scripted and controlled? Jen, your tips on when you would do that and when not to do that?
We thought a lot about that. And in the end, we felt because we were speaking to people we didn't know, and we really had a very controlled message that we restricted the use of the chat box and just grabbing the microphone. But that was a very, very formal setting, almost a judge and jury type of courtroom feel to it.
Yeah.
So I think that getting feedback and having people turn their mics off on is a really good technique, and you can announce it, right? You don't have to wait to the end of your 50 minutes to say we're going to get feedback. You can take feedback as you go and say, you know, in 10 minutes, we're going to take some comments, and then you go back. It's like a radio talk show.
That's always been a fantasy of mine, is to have a radio talk show.
I'm not lying. I think you should do it based on just today. This is incredible. I think just watching you be a moderator, I'm learning a lot.
Cindy Howard Stern Morgan, right here with us today.
I'm just trying not to curse. I had a little incident a couple of weeks back where I thought I was not on camera, and maybe some of you remember I had a couple of choice words after Jodie Foster and I finished, or what I thought was a behind-the-scenes moment became a front-of-the-stage moment, so that's a definite don't. Jen, how do we keep the momentum for a meeting going following the virtual meeting? Tips on that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways to do it, and it's all revolving around getting feedback. So, you know, you can send out a post-meeting survey, just, or if it's a training, to say, how did it go? How was the technology? Did it work? Did we, was it engaging? Tell us what worked, what didn't work. You could also do it just right in the session and have people enter things in the chat, you know, what works, what didn't work, what you liked, what you want to see more of. And then always, you know, consider you can record these sessions like we're doing today. And so we'll make that available to everyone later on. So future people who are watching it have the opportunity to reach out to us and offer their feedback as well. But I think just learning from every session and just building on the skills that we're learning so rapidly is just going to help us become better and better facilitators.
Don't forget the power of positive. I've heard you say this, Cindy. If you're talking about how to sharpen skills, you can give positive reinforcement. Like, I liked how you looked over to the chat 20 minutes in. That was really cool. And so you reinforce those habits with your team by calling it out in a positive way.
Giving feedback, it's critical, especially positive feedback. Thanks, Bob. I would love to hear from the participants. What's one thing you want to do differently as a coming out of this session? Is there one nugget that you're going to apply or try? I'd like to see what you'll try coming out of here. So I'd love to see what you do differently.
We're going to have to read in between the comments that you'd be have a great radio talk show.
Yeah, thanks. It's nice to know I would have a built-in audience because, you know, all five of us would have a really good time.
Bob, right, you could be her co-host.
Bob, that would be very fun for me. I don't know who has more energy, Bob, you or me. I would have to try to tamp mine down a little, I think. All right, what do you think? What are you going to do differently as a result of this session? I'd love a couple of nuggets from our participants in the remaining kind of moments. Melanie said that if she has an active event, she's going to have a colleague moderate the chat. That is a massive help. Youngin is doing a great job. By the way, we also have Caitlin Manning from PMA. She helps us with the slides. And that also comes together in that facilitator's agenda, so it looks pretty seamless. Like, I'd love to say we're just winging this, but it takes a lot of practice and coordination and just behind-the-scenes efforts. Assign people to manage the chat, time, take minutes, attendance, great. Incorporate polling options. That's great, Marjorie. Using poll everywhere, Debbie. End sessions 5 to 10 minutes ahead of time. We'll use Dr. Vonderheide's tip around placing the picture and a smiling face behind the lens. That's a great one. Put in the invitation if you'd like people to join by video. Thanks, Helene. So great tips. That's really fantastic. So thank you for sharing your tips in the event chat. I'm very grateful for your active participation as always. Jen, Bob, I need to just say thanks so much. It was so fun to talk to you and throw all sorts of questions at you that we didn't even prepare for, and you just made it seem so seamless. I think your insights, Bob, your experience with the NCI grant, I think we can all learn from that, and we'll be keeping our fingers crossed that it's a very successful outcome. So thanks so much for joining us today and for stepping up during this time and helping our whole organization learn this new tools and techniques for having great meetings. So we want to continue doing lunch with leaders, and we want to make this as relevant as possible. Now, I have a ton of ideas because, as I said, I sort of been fantasizing about this moment where I could have this talk show. I never really thought I would be TV ready or worthy. I always thought it would be radio. But oh well, this is how it is. So I'd really love to hear from you. What topics should we be covering on Lunch with Leaders? Are there guests you want me to have? Are there topics you want to cover? Are there things that we could be doing to really speak to some of the challenges that you're having? Are there topics that we had in the past that you'd like to go more in depth with? I'd love to hear from you. We're really listening. As Bob said, you know, I'm all about giving and receiving feedback. We really listen to your feedback. So if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to have your thoughts in the event chat. We also have a post Lunch with Leaders survey, and we'd love your feedback in the brief survey in terms of what we can be doing to get even better at this. Because just like you, we're learning. So I'm real open to what you have to say. So there's the survey. Don't forget to leave the poll everywhere by texting leave on your phone to the poll everywhere site. And we are working on our schedule for the next Lunch with Leaders. So we hope to have more of these. We'll look forward to communicating with you when the next one will be and what the topic will be. So much of it will depend on what you share with us. And I'll look forward to seeing you on our next Lunch with Leaders. And I'm doing the Bob Vonderhyde method by giving you 4 extra minutes back. Thanks, everyone. Can't wait to see you. Till next time. Thanks, Bob. Thanks, Jen.
Thank you.